Warning: The Able Hour contains a principle-based approach to dealing with some of life's most difficult issues. No subject is taboo. Listeners who feel they are victims should turn up the radio and learn how to deal with their problems. Call the show at 1-800-331-4301. The Able Hour starts now.
Hello.
There he is. Okay.
Hey.
Welcome, John.
Hey, how are things going?
We have good.
Did you mention our technical difficulties?
I did. I mentioned that we were having some difficulties with K-Star there.
I think we're on K-Star now.
I don't know.
If you're listening, call us and tell us.
Let us know. Just 1-800-331-4301 and you can let us know if K-Star is working. We should be anyway. So, John, it's Friday night. Or it's not Friday night. It's Friday.
Yes, I guess so.
Do you have a date tonight?
No. I don't have a date tonight.
You don't have a date? Why not?
Well, I think it's because of my hectic week this week, staying in Provo.
You put in some long hours here.
Yeah,
you had to engineer three shows or something.
I haven't been able to, you know, kind of work it in my own like territory. But still, even if I did, I'm sure I probably wouldn't have a date tomorrow because, or tonight. I guess, is today Friday?
Yes, it is Friday. It's been a long week, hasn't it, John?
It's been so long. yeah, because I've been kind of, lately, I keep forgetting. You know, I keep looking forward to the weekend, but then I keep forgetting that I don't make my plans. I'm just looking forward to the break rather than the time I should be spending, you know, with some lucky girl.
Well, if you do usually go out on a date, how do you usually go about that? How do you usually try to find a date?
How do I find a date?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, usually,
you know,
usually
your
friends
when set I do, you up, you just ask a random girl. I mean, what do you do?
It's not. I usually don't ask strangers, and my friends can attest to this. I don't date that much. It's kind of. And sometimes when I do, I don't call it a date. I just kind of
it's hanging out, right?
I manipulate some of my friends, and then I call it a date in hindsight. And they're like, "What? I feel gypped. That wasn't a date. You were just my buddy. We were hanging out. You totally didn't even pay or anything." So, but yeah, usually that's how it goes. But like when it's like an official date, usually it's someone I tend to know pretty well, and a lot of times it's, you know, with a group or something and doing something like that. And I'm getting pretty old. I really need to work on that one-on-one thing, but. I mean, the listeners know. I mean, you've been listening to me for about a month now. You know, I have my own share of problems, I suppose. I should get a date for tonight, huh? What should I do?
I don't know. Well, hey, I'll tell you how not to get a date.
Okay, yeah, do that.
Okay, well, don't use 911 as a dating service. Okay, that's tip number one. This is an actual story. It comes out of Aloha, Oregon.
Well, there goes
Sounds
my
like
game plan.
That must be the Hawaiian island of Oregon. You know, Aloha, Oregon. Anyway, okay, it says, this comes from KSAT, which is a radio station up there in Oregon. But it says,
KSAT.
It says, emergency service 911 is not to be meant as a, or is not meant to be used as a dating service. You know, this was like eye-opening to me. It says, just ask an Oregon woman who authorities say learned the hard way. They say it started when some neighbors called the sheriff with a noise complaint about Laura Jean Dudash. Dudash. Wow. A deputy came to her door. After he left, Dudash allegedly dialed the emergency number asking dispatchers to send back the cutie pie, as she put it. The apparently stunned operator asked again why she needed help, and Dudash answered that she wanted to meet the handsome deputy. He returned. After confirming there was no emergency, he gave Dudash a date, but not the kind she appeared to be hoping for. She got a court date on charges of 911 misuse. Conviction can carry a year in jail plus thousands in fines.
Wow.
So, just so you know, John, well, don't call 911 and ask for a date, or try to get like a cute police officer back if she comes to your place or something like that.
Well, that's too bad, because that's an easy num to remember.
Yeah, you know, maybe you can give it out. You know, if there's a girl you really don't want to give your a number to, she asks for your number, you can just give her like, yeah, just call 911.
Okay.
Ask for me. They'll know who you're talking about.
Yeah. That'll provide a fake number and a red flag at the same time.
All right. Well, hey, we're joined in our studios today. It is Friday, and those are our dating and relationship days. And we are joined by Elisa Goodwin-Snell. She's a marriage counselor and author of Want to Marry a Good Man, Here's How. So, Elisa, welcome to the Able Hour.
Hi. How are you?
We're doing good. Hey, so let me ask you about this book a little bit. I've been reading it over the last week or so here and there. Why did you write this book? Tell us about your experience and what led you to kind of write this book.
You bet. First, I think we need to just kind of let people know it's not been published yet. We're still in the editing phases prior to publication, but that hopefully will remain the title, Want to Marry a Good Man, Here's How. I'm on my second marriage, so as a marriage and family therapist, that was a point of embarrassment for a while that I was a divorced marriage and family therapist. But the biggest reason why I became motivated to write this book is I wanted to, for my own personal need, and as well for my clients who I was working so much with, I wanted to avoid the possibility of getting back into another bad, what I feel was verbally abusive and controlling relationship. And the only way to do that was to change the patterns I saw within myself and just, you know, find a way to one, be more effective in dating, two, be more confident in dating, but this time be safe in dating. And so it was a whole process. So the actual title of the book will end up being Want to Marry a Good Man, Here's How, Your Complete Guide to Being Safe, Confident, and Successful. And it goes through those three stages. But yeah, my personal motivation was probably the biggest reason why I ever cared enough to analyze and scrutinize every detail that ended up eventually in the book.
So tell us a little bit about, so you're a licensed, a marriage counselor?
Marriage and family therapist.
Marriage and family therapist. Tell us about kind of a little bit about your experience with your first marriage. I mean, here you are, you're a marriage counselor, and you were kind of, you found yourself in an abusive relationship, correct?
Mm-hmm. I would say verbally abusive. I wouldn't want to, you know, misrepresent it in terms of being physically abusive, but yes, you know, and there were a lot of little things along the way that I think I learned eventually about how I got into that verbally abusive relationship and controlling relationship. But I apologize. What was the question again? I think I got sidetracked.
Tell us just a little bit about your experience about being in that kind of relationship. Then we'll kind of tie it into the book a little bit.
Well, I think the biggest thing with it, which I think many women who have been in abusive relationships, and even men for sure, because abusive relationships abound on both sides of.
I was
going to
ask that.
Continuum.
I was curious about that.
Yeah, and you know, and I think that's part of the tragedy of our society is that men so often don't come forward. They don't accept or recognize that they're being abused in a public way, and so they silently suffer. But I think one of the dynamics for me in that piece was it was incredibly romantic in the beginning. It was everything I think women want a relationship to be ideally, and something that our society and media perpetuate as the ideal relationship. It was romantic, it was intense, he was totally into me right away. It was all this immediate commitment, and it felt great, and in many ways it became an addictive drug that I craved and wanted, that love, affection, and time, and all of those things that were with it. But then there were these toxic punches of emotional abuse, and so it was a hard thing to kind of pull out of, and I hope that kind of answers that question, but I think there's a slow deterioration, and for most women who are in abusive relationships, it doesn't start off all bad. That's part of the addiction of the relationship, is that it started out so intoxicatingly great, and then it slowly, the toxicity of it slowly started to become greater and greater until what was great about the relationship is overshadowed by all of the verbal and emotional abuse, the sadness, the fear, the anxiety, and then finally they pull out.
Well, you said he was even, I'm reading the book, that he was like even verbally abusive the first time that you talked to him.
I didn't see it. there was the demeaning comments towards my education, my background, and my counseling experience right in the very first conversation. But boy, did I laugh 100 times more than I noticed that.
Did you
and
study 18th century French poetry?
I didn't.
That's a Groundhog Day. He says, oh, what a waste of time.
Hey, you're listening to the Able Hour. You know, they say love is sweeter the second time around. So if you're getting out of a bad marriage or just have some questions for our guest, you can feel free to give us a call. The number is 1-800-331-4301. We will be back with your with our guests some more and with your calls.
At VIP Media, all of our customers get VIP treatment. Our expert staff can translate your ideas into professional quality television ads, promotional and training videos, and marketing and educational productions that will catch the eye of potential customers. Help your business grow and get noticed by putting a professional face on your company. With over 25 years of videography, production, directing, and editing experience, VIP has produced hundreds of productions and has the skill and expertise to take your company to the next level. Whether you are interested in helping your small business grow, are looking to expand into a new market, or just want to revamp your image, VIP Media can handle all of your production needs. To see examples of what we can do for your business, check us out at VIPmediaonline.com or call us at 801-224-5210. For unbeatable prices, professional digital quality, and our signature VIP treatment, contact us today at 801-224-5210.
Did you know that you have something in your possession that could be making you money right now? It's your good credit score, and if you haven't ever thought of using it to create income, you need to get educated. Franklin Squires University can teach you how to use your credit score to make money. Join the free capitalist Rick Kerber and the hundreds of students who have learned how to create wealth by putting their good credit scores to work. Using a 728 credit score, one of our students earned over $60,000, and another brought in over $27,000 with a score of 753. If you have a comparable credit score and you aren't making money with it, pick up the phone and dial 1-800-806-7031. The stories are true, the numbers are real, so what are you waiting for? Take action by beginning the process today that will help you utilize the return you deserve from your credit score. Call Bryce at 1-800-806-7031.
Romeo and Juliet, but it ended up in tragedy.
Yeah, John, I love that clip. That is the best clip.
Really? Is that the best clip? Is that your favorite?
Yeah, I really love that clip.
Elisa, I can't find the song. Which song were you talking about?
Because of You. Do you know that one?
No.
It's a new one.
Is it a Backstreet Boys song?
No.
Because I only know old Backstreet Boys.
Hey, welcome back to the Able Hour. We're talking about how to marry a good man or woman today, and Backstreet Boy music, apparently.
That's my favorite Backstreet Boys song, by the way. We just played it. Hey, by the way, I just put in some new music for today's show. You know how I've been kind of having some old music problems? I put in music specifically for this show, and I'll give a reward for anybody who can name the next three songs.
But not this song. But not this last song.
No, this last one was way too easy. Everybody knows that song.
Even me.
Yeah.
Someone who really cares nothing for music.
Even Abel knows that song. Yeah.
Hey, we have a guest today. It's Elisa Goodwin Snell. She's a marriage counselor and author of Want to Marry a Good Man. Here's How. So, John, you had a question for
yes.
we were talking kind of about abusive relationships, and you had a question for Elisa.
Yes, Elisa. I was wondering, because I've heard this often before, that people who are in abusive relationships. I mean, usually they're not in one. They go from abusive relationship to abusive relationship. And I'm just like wondering, how is that possible if they've had such a hard time? Do they seek out more abusive relationships? Or is it so much the abusers who are so good at finding people who are vulnerable to that?
Well, I think people who are good victims almost wear a sign to abusers that say, come abuse me. You know, and unfortunately, they don't realize that they're wearing that sign. But one of the things that they do is they don't assert their needs. They don't tell people what they want. They don't feel like they can say no. A guy bumps into him, and as he walks by, and this actually happened to me when I was working with some adolescent sex offenders, a sex offender bumped into me and walked by, and he turned around and he said, excuse you. And at the time, I turned around and I said, oh, I'm sorry. I sent a message to him that was so clear that I was kind of an easy target to be exploited or abused. And so when I was going through my divorce, I had to take a look at what was the role I consistently played in relationships. And one night I had a dream where my first husband was coming towards me from one direction, and my first boyfriend from when I was 19 years old was coming towards me from another direction. And they both collided and fell down, and I had to look at both of them in kind of the same screen, so to speak. And I realized that I had dated the same kinds of guys. And I had never really identified and recognized how much I was dating the same kinds of guys. But it wasn't even just that I was always dating those kinds of guys, because there were good guys mixed in there. But I always played the same role. I didn't assert my needs. I didn't tell them when I felt like something was wrong. I didn't make my feelings known. I didn't really trust my own feelings. And so I oftentimes just played an easy victim role that was attractive to those kinds of men. But that's part of the reason why I didn't date for the first year and a half after my divorce. Okay. I knew I was so vulnerable to potentially abusive and manipulative relationships that I had to fix me if I was going to avoid a pattern.
One thing I love about you being here, it's the fact that, you know, we're learning how to be more that way so that the jerks on the earth will go away, because, you know, they're getting all of this positive feedback from people.
So what are some of the best ways? I mean, in your book, you talk about be safe, and here's how to, I don't know, have a relationship, you know, a safe relationship. What's the best way a man or a woman can avoid an abusive or manipulative type of relationship?
Well, I think there's two parts to it. One is that they've got to identify their own responsibility to their own issues, to their own needs, and they've got to start recognizing that they can sense when something's not right, that if there's a warning sign, that it is probably real. They're probably identifying something that is real. So many people don't trust their gut feelings, and that's what victims so often do, is they stop listening to their gut feelings. And most victims will identify that there was something wrong in even the first few contacts that they had with someone who ended up abusing or manipulating them that was a warning sign, but they dismissed it. They didn't trust their own judgment. So probably the most powerful thing is to become familiar with the truth again, and to trust their own sense of being able to identify the truth. If somebody says to you, I actually had a guy call me, this was when I was single the second time, and I said something about something I was doing with a sister of mine. He says, well, you must think you're all that in a bag of chips. First phone call, you know, and he was totally demeaning me. If I didn't identify and recognize that, and I continued to go on a date with him, that was an early warning sign. I needed to pick up the fact that he was ever so subtly punching me for something that was really good being called bad. And so often, I think another step of this is in changing that pattern is we have to call good good and bad bad, instead of bad being perpetuated as good and called as good. And society and the media does this all the time. It's the guy who's totally irreverent and disrespectful. And
the fact that bad is slang for good anyway.
Yeah.
That is so bad.
I know, exactly.
That's so 80s, John.
I know, exactly. You know, it's the Hawkeyes, you know. And I remember my childhood crush on Hawkeye. He just seemed so, you know, just charming or blah, blah, blah. And he was disrespectful, and he had issues with authority, and he wouldn't let anybody else tell him how to do it, and he didn't abide by the rules. And
I must tell you, I had a crush on him too. I love Hawkeye. It's my favorite show growing up. He was my hero.
Did you have a crush on John Boy from Waltons too?
I didn't watch Waltons. That's
before my time.
Silly. Yeah.
1-800-331-4301. If you have a question or want to be part of the show today, if you have a question for Alisa, so let's talk about the role that the media plays in romanticizing bad men and downplaying good men. Do you think? I mean, when people go into relationships, how responsible do you think that the media actually is for their views of what is a good man or a good woman, for that matter?
Or even a good relationship. I mean, a good relationship is one that immediately saves you from every problem, fear, insecurity you have. And that's not reality. Reality is we work through our own issues. And I can't expect to meet someone today and he's going to spend all of his time and attention with me, and we're just going to totally become this one great unit, and that's really going to work out well. A good man puts balance in moderation into his life. He's got his relationships with his family. He's got his relationships with work. He's got his prior obligations. He's going to call a girl. He's going to be consistent about calling a girl, but he's not going to be consumed in every moment of her life the minute he meets her.
So wait, too much attention is a bad thing?
Well, society makes it seem like it's a good thing, and women certainly want it, but really, what is a good thing? I want to be with someone who's consistent. If a guy will drop everything in his life to be with me today, won't he maybe possibly drop everything in his life, including me, to be with someone else? Or do I want somebody who's going to be constant and steady and committed and loyal and dedicated to what's important to his life, and he starts to slowly build and incorporate me into that? And that is good. That is good being called good. And society and the media wants to make it look like whatever is romantic and exciting is gets immediate gratification. And immediate gratification isn't long term. And so I'd
agree that the media, you know, maybe shows bad relationships, but how responsible do you think it is for people's perceptions of what is a good relationship? I mean, I think back to the relationships that I've had, and you know, I can't say I can say, well, this is what the media thought of a good relationship is, but this is what I know a good relationship relationship to be. Do you actually think there's people out there that let the media influence them in that way?
I do. Especially when you're looking at divorced situations, you're looking at people who grew up with a father not in the home. Their only real source of an idea or model of a relationship is what they're getting from the media and from friends. And so when you're getting a picture that isn't really complete and they're hoping for this guy who's going to come in and save them from all their problems, they're going to probably find that they didn't really end up with a good guy. So we've got to just get some good information and build from there about what a good guy is.
All right. When the Able Hour continues, we'll be talking to Elisa Goodwood-Snell. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist. So if you have questions, feel free to call in the show. John, what's the number?
1-800-331-4301. We'll give you food if you call in. Just remember
good
that.
Food. Iceberg food.
Yes. 1-800-331-4301.
If your current real estate career isn't empowering you to reach your income goals, then check out Lucent Real Estate. Our unique acquisition representative training course will show you how to identify diamond-in-the-rough properties that can be turned into real gems through our equity milling process. If you are a motivated real estate salesperson willing to work hard to reach your target goals while reaping the financial benefits of your labors, then we are looking for you. Join Lucent Real Estate's select team and open up a window of opportunity leading to a world of abundance that you have only dreamed of by emailing us today at lucentre@comcast.net. For consideration and possible placement in our program, send us a cover letter and resume today. You can't change the past, but you can determine your future by taking control of your present situation. Make the call that will change your life forever. That address again is lucentre@comcast.net. Get the profitable job you've always wanted by tapping into wealth's abundance at Lucent Real Estate today.
Are you tired of being stuck in the rat race? Does it seem like economic prosperity has passed you by? Well, stop being a victim and take control of your financial future. Become part of the Franklin Squires University, the only university dedicated to teaching true economic principles. With students from all walks of life, Franklin Squires University teaches you how to make decisions based on what the founding fathers refer to as prosperity economics. At Franklin Squires University, you can learn how to apply these prosperity economics to your life and associate with other like-minded individuals who have made the decision to prosper. To take that first step to a better and more prosperous future, call 801-375-4474. That's 801-375-4474. Don't be a victim. Take control of your financial future today. Call Franklin Squires University at 801-375-4474 or visit franklinsquires.com.
I propose we go out on 10 dates.
How about 0?
9.
0.
7.
0.
8.
0.
5. And that's my final offer. 4.
Well, I'm sorry.
Turn on the mic, John.
Yeah, okay. Just buttons. Okay. I'm on it.
That was from Futurama, by the way, for those who are unfamiliar with the show.
Hey, I didn't even tell you that time.
I know the voices.
I'm proud of you.
I watched a few episodes. I haven't watched a lot of them, but I do know the voices.
Anyway, yeah, we're back with Elisa Goodwin-Snell, marriage counselor and author of Want to Marry a Good Man. Here's how. I wanted to bring us in because I wanted to say the name of the book because I haven't said it yet because I think it's a great name. want to marry. Oh, whoops, sorry. Laugh again. Sorry. I didn't turn your mic on.
Now she's on. All okay. right. Well, you know, before the break, we were talking about how to avoid the, I don't know, how, avoid, you know, someone who's, who, you know, who could possibly put you in an abusive or manipulative relationship. Why don't you define for us what is, you know, when you talk about how to marry a good man, what in your definition is a good man? Or I guess would this fall, I guess for those men in the audience, would this also define a good woman as well?
Right. Well, I think part of it too is in coming back to what we were talking about before the break, really, what is the pattern within us that we're attracted to the wrong kinds of guys? We have to take a look at that and start taking responsibility for what are the kind of guys we're attracted to or the kind of women we're attracted to. If we keep having a bad relationship, or we may be looking at the wrong things and calling that attractive. And so how do you really change your mind about what is good and what is not and become more attracted to good people and good men? It really is very simple. It doesn't, on the external, there's a lot of things that you could look at that other people on the outside might say, oh, that makes a good man. But really on the internal, what is needed in a relationship is probably primarily empathy. If I am totally successful at work, but I come home and I am cold and cruel to my wife and I can never get, my husband, I guess, is a woman since I'm talking, but
spouse.
But if I can never get into their shoes, if I can never understand why someone might be grumpy after a full night's restlessness with a crying baby and I'm just angry and irritated that the house isn't clean, if I can never get into someone's shoes, that lack of empathy is really going to affect my relationship. Now, it might show up at work a little bit in that I yell at somebody at work or whatever, but most people are going to see the external facade that I create. And the person that suffers the most is the one at home that needs the empathy the very most. And so what defines a good man is three basic skills, or a good woman. The ability to empathize. And, you know, empathy isn't what we just do when we give it to a neighbor down the street and we help them move something in, or we mow their lawn, or we do some other kind of
charitable act. Oh, good, because I don't do that.
I know. Empathy is truly the ability to care enough about someone else's feelings and rights and respect that they have those feelings and rights that I would be willing to change my behavior if it was needed by the other person. That doesn't mean I have the obligation to do it, but I have the awareness and the respect and care and concern for them that I would consider it. And so if I'm upset and I start yelling and screaming and my child cowers before me, I stop and I recognize that they have a right to feel safe and secure. And maybe I lower my tone of voice, I sit down, I change my tone of voice to respect their rights. That is empathy. When I am so focused on what somebody's done wrong that I verbally abuse and berate, and I just helped a neighbor out, that's not empathy. What I did with the neighbor is partially self-serving. It serves the purpose of helping me to look good and feel good around other people and to get the validation and approval of others. Empathy is the ability to change my behavior for the well-being of another person. So that's one way to identify someone who's...
Let me see if I can go ahead and put an example on this for my own life and see if you can say, yes, this is empathy. I know when I was dating Julie, my second wife, when we were dating, one of the things that was hard in our relationship is I had a hard time opening up about my past. Mm-hmm. And it was very important for her. You know, she really struggled with it because, you know, she wanted things to kind of move. You know, in her world, for the things to move forward, she wanted me to become comfortable and be able to talk to her,
right,
you know, just about, you know, about my first marriage, how it ended, things like that. And so it was hard, but I did it because, you know, I wanted the relationship to move forward too.
There was that care and concern for her needs.
Exactly.
And her well-being. And, you know, there's many messages that are communicated in that, but one of those, which maybe we'll talk about in a future show on how to be more confident and how to be more successful in dating, but one of those is having faith and trust in the other person. And if I don't share, if I hold all my personal information in and I don't share with you what hurts me, what I'm upset about, what I'm feeling in an appropriate way that respects your needs and how I approach it, if I don't share that, you are denied the opportunity to experience empathy for me because you can't get in my shoes. If I never share what it's like to be in my shoes, you can't see it. And so it's an important part of relationships, and empathy, I think, is probably the most important piece of what good people offer. Now, empathy is also mixed with a variety of other things. You know, if for instance, one internet dating tool that's so important is that you don't necessarily give out too much information right away. You don't give out a home telephone number where somebody can type it in on the Google.com mm-hmm. and pull up your address. I had a client who was raped by a man, 14 years old, the day after her birthday, because she called a guy she met from the internet, and he, of course, had falsified how old he was and things like that. And he did exactly that. He pulled her number off the caller ID. He typed it into Google.com, and he found out where she lived. Those
wow.
things happen. So empathy, even an example of internet dating, if a man has empathy and a woman says, you know, I'm not comfortable giving you this number, or I'm not comfortable meeting you at my home, but I'll meet you at a restaurant, and a good guy goes, cool. It doesn't, you know, that's not a problem. A warning sign of someone who's potentially abusive is, well, why don't you trust me? You can trust me. You know you should trust me.
I just met you.
Yeah, exactly. There's
like,
no,
I don't know you.
There's not that empathy and respect for the fact that this is about someone else besides me. And so empathy is one of those things, and I can go through maybe after the break and go through what are some of the early warning signs of somebody who doesn't have empathy to kind of help delineate between good men and the other. A couple of the other skills, so to speak, that would identify somebody who is a good man versus someone who really is emotionally immature. And I don't like to call anyone bad, you know, and so I don't ever make that reference in the book, a bad man. I make reference to the idea of calling good good and bad bad, but I really refer to this, the other type, as being emotionally immature. They're like 14 years old. They just never emotionally matured enough to see beyond themselves. 14-year-olds are very, you know, self-centered, very worried about appearances, very worried about what other people are doing for them. They just don't see beyond themselves, and they don't have these skills. And so the emotionally immature versus emotionally mature, which I call good men, how do you identify that? Well, empathy is one. And another skill is self-control, the ability to exercise self-control over immediate gratification. And part of the reason why I take issue with some of the you know, the movies and songs that perpetuate romanticism in our society is because it's all about immediate gratification. Well, self-control is about mastering self and working towards a long-term goal, and it's part of what mature people do. They see that they need to get an education, they see that they need a degree, so they spend 6 years getting it. They work towards a long-term goal. Well, that's the kind of dedication and commitment that's going to keep a man invested in me, in my life, in my marriage, when I have two kids and I'm dependent upon his loyalty and his fidelity. You know, and so those are the kind of skills that demonstrate another way of looking at an emotionally mature or good man, is the ability to exercise self-control and to forego immediate gratification, whether it's I'm angry so I want to yell. I don't yell because of my care and concern for others, but I have self-control enough to stop myself. The other sign is personal responsibility, and I know we're running short before the break, but personal responsibility, in short, is the ability to...
Sounds like the last one a little bit.
Yeah. It's the ability to take responsibility, kind of like this, what this show is about. Take responsibility and do something about your life. Make some changes. Personal responsibility is taking action. It's opposite of a victim position. And the other side of it is taking responsibility, acknowledging when I'm wrong and accepting it and trying to correct my mistakes. So there's those two pieces. But those three skills define good men.
All right, 1-800-331-4301. If you want to be part of the show today, we're talking to Elisa Goodwin-Snill. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist. When we come back, we're going to maybe have her talk a little bit more, talk about self-control and personal responsibility when we get back. So if you want to be part of the show or have a question for it, again, the number is 1-800-331-4301.
Did you miss the Rick Herber Show today? Now you can hear Rick's show and other Free Capitalist programming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at freecapitalist.com. Listen to show archives, email Rick, or find out about upcoming Free Capitalist events where you can meet the Free Capitalist himself in person. You can also participate in weekly forums sponsored by the Free Capitalist Project, including question and answer sessions, book discussions, and training seminars designed to teach you how to become a prosperous capitalist and better American. Check us out online at freecapitalist.com.
Add to your finance and business library by visiting the Free Capitalist Bookstore online at freecapitalist.com. Our convenient online service allows you to order a variety of popular books like Rich Dad Poor Dad and Atlas Shrugged, as well as hard-to-find titles by Dr. Skousen and powerful classics like Positive Imaging, which is not sold in stores. Books in stock are shipped within 24 hours of your order so that you can begin reading and changing your life within days. Expand your mind with a shopping trip for our online bookstore for the latest books on capitalism. If Rick has mentioned it on the show, you can buy it online at freecapitalist.com.
Let's split this joint and burn rubber down to the local Iceberg Drive-In to check out the scene.
I dig it. Them Iceberg Shakes put me on cloud nine.
Oh, yeah. Their jumbo burgers are crazy, man.
The days of the greasers and hipsters may be past, but some of the fabulous 50s lives on at your local Iceberg Drive-In.
Hey, buddy. How's it going?
Hey, what's up?
I'm starved. Let's get out of here and head down to the Iceberg Drive-In for an iceberger and shake with a side of Iceberg's signature French fries. What are we waiting for, man?
If you haven't tasted a creamy, thick Iceberg milkshake or sampled their famous hand-breaded onion rings with an iceberger, what are you waiting for? Blast over to one of Iceberg's 10 convenient locations and you'll see why at Iceberg Drive-Ins, one taste and it's a tradition.
Desperate, but not serious. Your kisses drive me
serious.
Oh, I dropped the things again. Hey,
Ember. John. Hey, Ember, you're listening to the Able Hour, by the way. And Ember, John wants you to do something.
Yeah, so. I want you to do. How about number J? Can you do J really quick?
Nobody ever stops to tell you what a great captain you are.
Aw, that is so true and sweet.
You're smart. You're beautiful. And best of all, you'll go out with me.
Fry, please try to understand. You're a man. I'm a woman. We're just too different.
And somehow it works out. Yeah. Go figure.
Opposites attract sometimes, men and women.
Hey, you're listening to the Able Hour. The number, if you want to be part of the show today, is 1-800-331-4301. If you have a question, we're here with our guest, Lisa Goodwin-Snell. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist. She's also the author of the forthcoming book, How to Marry a Good Man. So we're talking to her about that. Now, before the break, you know, you were talking about signs of, or we were kind of defining an emotionally mature man or woman, I guess. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned one of the first one was empathy. The second one was self-control. And we talked about empathy a bit, but what are some warning signs of someone who doesn't have self-control?
Well, I think, let me give you kind of a variety of all three throughout the next few minutes. But for instance, someone who doesn't have self-control, I'll give you a couple of examples. These would be things that you could see in the first three dates. My hope is for women to be able to identify, and men to be able to identify, someone who's potentially abusive within the first three dates before you get overly emotionally attached, just because these can oftentimes be very exciting relationships and you can be blinded to the more obvious warning signs. But here are a few. When they talk about their past, they have multiple criminal charges and or appear to be minimizing their illegal behaviors and consequences. Anyone miss that one? Hopefully you wouldn't. But, you know, I know, but you know, it's amazing how when you're on a date with somebody who is really able to make you feel excited and there's all this chemistry and they're totally into you, how you start to lose sense and reasoning with logic, and that you're hearing things and you're dismissing them. And these are the kinds of things that you just cannot afford to dismiss. And for me, in my own situation, there were things I never told friends or family because I knew that they would judge my ex-husband. This is when I was dating him. I knew that they would judge my, you know, when I was dating him, him harshly. So I never told him. Warning sign, when I can't tell people everything that's going on or about his history because I'm afraid of that, that's obviously a warning sign. Another example of issues with self-control is as they talk about their experiences, they appear to have a history of reacting with anger. For instance, they may talk about experiences where they quickly got into fistfights over small offenses, lost jobs due to anger management issues, punched holes in walls, yelled or called names. That would be another example. As they talk about their childhood behaviors, they seem to have little discipline. Had little discipline from parents. Their behavior seemed out of control. Now that one, you always have to put it in perspective of what they're doing with the larger picture. But when you keep putting things together, they brag about their past or present drug, alcohol, or sexual behaviors. They don't call when they say they will. They drink to excess on the first dates. Their past marriages or significant relationships all ended up with someone being abusive, neglectful, unfaithful, addicted, or psychotic. They're not taking responsibility for their own issues, you know? And so when you're looking at that, those are important warning signs of someone who has self-control issues, and there's probably a bigger picture there.
You know, it's funny because I played these little clips at the end of the breaks, and the one I wanted to get, I couldn't find it on the internet, but it was a Simpsons episode where Lisa's dating the class bully. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you ever saw that, but Lisa goes,
that's right.
Mom, you know, am I wasting my time? I mean, can I possibly change him? And Marge goes, you know, a lot of women will say you can't change a man, but I say those women are quitters.
Yeah, exactly.
When I married your father, he was lazy and oafish and fat, but now he's a totally changed person.
I know. Delusion versus reality.
Uh-huh. Hey, before we get into it more, we have a call. We have Heidi. Hold on one second here. I'm set up a little bit differently than a usual day. We have Heidi listening online at freecapitalist.com. She's in San Francisco. Heidi, welcome to the Able Hour.
Thanks, Abel.
Hey, what's your question for Elisa?
Yeah, my question, I've been listening to the show, and I just have kind of a general question, but I just really want to know what she thinks about men in general, like why they won't commit anymore, why they have no desire to date, they just want to hang out, like they just refuse to make a commitment to anyone anymore.
You know, I think that's an important question and one that many women struggle with. We are movers and shakers. When we see something that needs to be done, we get up and we do it.
Exactly.
And so we're not very patient with the fact that when we're looking at a guy from across the hall, that he's not coming to us. So we get up and we walk over there and we come to him. I recently did a conference where a woman asked me this very same question. She's like, you know, I'm just not getting a whole lot of dates. And I asked her, I said, well, you know, tell me a little bit more about it. And she said, you know, she basically described that scenario. She walks across to a man. I said, well, what if you stayed where you were at? You smiled at him, you flirted, but you let him walk across the room to you. Well, she came the next day and she told me about her experience at a dance that they had put together as part of this seminar or conference. And she did that. She just stayed where she was, and she had more men approach her. And as I followed up with her, because actually she became a major player in a seminar that I did a little later, as I followed up with her, she was going on more dates in the months that followed than she had been on before. Some of it is that a man will sit back, a good man, will sit back and let women do for him what he could do for himself if she wants to. But if we stand back and we just flirt and we create a warm, approachable environment, many men will walk the distance and come to us. Some of it's our own problem. Some of it is that we are making it so easy that they don't have to do it. And so in the future sessions, I think we'll be doing this over a couple of weeks, and I don't know when I'll be coming back. We need to schedule that. But I will be talking about how do you be more confident in dating and how do you be more successful. And you'll get a lot more descriptions of how to do that. But part of that being confident is really believing that he will play his role. If you play your role, he will play his, because what a man cares about, he will work for. And that's what you want. You want a man who's motivated enough that takes personal responsibility to pursue you.
So, okay, so from a guy's point of view here, John, let's just think of this from a guy's point of view.
And all right.
Maybe this will be of help to you, maybe it won't. But okay, so John, if you're at a dance or something like that, and you see a girl across the room, and she's flirting at you or smiling at you or doing something to kind of attract your attention, but she's not coming towards you, would you go out, would you walk across the room and go talk to her? Or on what conditions would you walk across the room and go talk to her?
On what conditions? Well, I'd probably psych myself up for like 15 minutes. And if she was still there, mm-hmm. I would.
Yeah.
But a lot of times I found in that situation, she's not patient enough with me. And she
I know.
Off.
And, you know, it isn't as flattering when a girl, well, I shouldn't say that, because I really think guys like it when girls pursue them. Every time I've talked
to
guys, to a point. Mm-hmm. But there's something more valuable about a girl that you pursue. I remember in another conference I did, a man kept respectfully disagreeing. He kept using those words. I just have to respectfully disagree. We were talking about the issue of men pursuing women. And he said, I like it when women pursue me. And we went in this debate for a long time. And then finally I just said it, and it seemed like it put all issues to rest. And I said to him, you don't understand. We women feel more secure and confident when you pursue us. When you call us, it feels 10 times better than when we call you. And so it's the gift you give us when you pursue us. And the whole room changed, and the atmosphere of both what the women were feeling, what the men were feeling, everything kind of settled. And I think part of it is that men don't really understand the emotional benefits for us as women when they pursue us. We can only be so vulnerable as women. We're either going to be vulnerable emotionally, we're going to be vulnerable physically. But if I walk across the room to meet a guy, I'm not going to be as emotionally friendly and as warm and receptive as when he walks across the room to meet me.
Interesting. That's quite a revelation, honestly.
I
think from a guy's point of view, I had to pursue my late wife and my second wife very hard.
Mm-hmm. And you valued it more.
Oh yeah, way mm-hmm. more. But I mean, just things I had to do just to get Julie to even go out with me again and again and again. I mean, it was tough. I never worked so hard at that in my life. Hey Heidi, are you still there?
Yep.
Let me ask you something here now, and this is for Elisa too. Now. I know that, you know, like from talking like with Julie about, you know, some of her past relationships and stuff, there seems to be, and maybe this is kind of what you were getting at, Heidi, there seems to be a trend of men just, you know, wanting to get into a relationship and not really taking it to the next level, maybe to which being a marriage level.
Mm-hmm.
Do you,
yeah.
Heidi, do you see that a lot?
All the time, especially in San Francisco.
So my question would be, is it necessarily something maybe, and not just using you as an example, Heidi, is it necessarily something that Heidi's doing wrong, or have men just kind of been trained that, hey, we don't have to commit, and it's something, and you know, we can do whatever we want, the girl will still be there, or is it?
Yes. We, as women, we're making ourselves into the good for now until something comes along, better girl. And it's our part in that problem that is contributing to the problem. And so my advice to you, again, what's your name?
Heidi.
Heidi, I apologize, Heidi.
No problem.
My advice to you, Heidi, is, and this is what comes in the Be Confident section, and in the next few weeks you'll hear more about this, but one of my beliefs, and I feel so strongly about this, is that you will have the opportunity to marry the kind of person you want to marry. If you're specific, you will have that chance. And it is a principle of faith. I'm a firm believer, you know, taking that out of any kind of a religious context, there's so much evidence to support in research, in medical studies, of the power of faith. If I believe I can be healed, I can. And not, you know, 100%, but when we believe in something, we create its reality. And I really believe that you will have, as all women will have, is the opportunity to marry the kind of person they say they want to marry if they pursue a path that leads to it. But part of that path also means having faith in him and in yourself that he will do his job, which is pursue you. The kind of guy you're looking for will pursue you.
All right. Was that helpful, Heidi?
Yep. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call. All right. You're listening to the Able Hour.
You're listening to the Able. You're not next to the mic.
I know. I'm not next to the mic.
1-800-331-4301. Call in. Hey, name this tune.
Take a look at the magazines you're reading. Do they get you thinking? If not, you need to subscribe to Free Capitalist Magazine, packed with articles written by successful capitalists, news and hot topics that affect your life. Free Capitalist Magazine will get you thinking about the world from a different perspective. Packed cover to cover with articles, columns, and even homework for the brain-on reader, Free Capitalist Magazine is a fun and informative read. Sign up for your free issue at freecapitalist.com or subscribe by calling 801-375-4474 today.
In medieval times, kings built moats around their castles to protect them from enemies wishing to rob, steal, and plunder their wealth. As the wealth of a king increased, so did the size of the moat protecting his castle. When designed properly, a moat provided more than just protection. It also enhanced the beauty of the castle and increased the wealth of the king. Similar principles apply today as we build moats around our financial castles. Auto, home, and liability insurance can be designed to not only protect our castle, but also to enhance its beauty and to increase our wealth. Call Foundations Insurance at 877-553-0760. We will educate you on the principles of insurance. We will show you how to see insurance as an asset, not just as an expense. We will teach you how to construct your insurance in such a way as to protect your wealth, as well as to give you permission to create and use wealth to your maximum potential. Protect your castle and gain access to your wealth. Be a producer. Call Foundations Insurance at 877-553-0760 to set up an appointment.
Do you have a good credit score? Did you know that you could be making money with that credit score? You too could turn your credit score into cold, hard cash. Franklin Squires University will teach you how to use your credit score to create income. Call 1-800-806-7031 and ask for Bryce to learn how you can extract a return from your good credit score. Put this asset to work for you, making money today by calling 1-800-806-7031.
The things you do are good for my health. The moves you make for yourself. The means you use are meant to confuse. Although they do, they're the ones that I would choose. I wouldn't want it.
You wouldn't let me anyway.
You're listening to Able Hour Idol. That was John Madsen performing. You can call 1-800-331-4301 and vote for him if you want.
I thought those words were very poignant.
Hey, so, you know, in the last segment here, we always do something. We'll be back with our guest here in just a second. But we do an Able Hour top, or an, what is it? An, we always change the name of this. It's the Able 8 List. Able's right. 8 List. Yes, John, what is your Able's 8 List for the day?
This is, the Able's 8 List is called Want to Marry John? Here's How. Okay. Now, number 8. Speak Klingon. Refrain from fancy jewelry. Don't worry about messing up your hair or getting it wet. Have a decent CD collection worth sharing. For every chick flick we watch, we also watch a sci-fi flick. Recycle your paper, plastic, and aluminum.
2.
Sushi night once a month.
1.
And okay, all the other ones didn't really matter, but this is the one that I like the most. this is the only one that really matters, and that's you got to be positive toward others.
Mm.
That's it. That's it for me. Anyway, that was the Able 8 List. I wanted to really usually I take, you know, a couple minutes doing that, but we have a lot more to talk to you about.
Right. We only have a few minutes to do it. So, John, yeah. we had someone email into the show. What was their question to the show?
Someone just chatted with me really quick. They were asking about lists. Mm-hmm. I complain to my friends all the time about the lists they make, and I read these lists. I'm like, you know, this is great. You know, it'd be great to find this guy, but hey, it's not quite me, you know.
Mm-hmm. Or girl.
I mean, and I'm a great guy, you know. Don't these things get in the way? Aren't they just a little too much?
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a really firm believer, and I hear so many women say, everybody's telling me, and men, you know, I wrote the book for women in mind. I'd love to do a follow up called "Want to Marry a Loving Woman? Here's How." Totally different, a little bit different approach, but it's the loving side that I think men are needing. And but anyway, for women, so many women are saying that people are saying you're expecting too much. You're never going to get married this way. And I just cringe every time I hear that, because this is the most important decision you will ever make. And it's going to affect you and your children long term. And you need to be putting a lot of thought into it.
I would completely agree with that, by the way, whether you're a guy or a girl. Yeah. This is a huge decision you make.
And, so,
and I would say don't ever settle. If you, I mean, if you're marrying someone, or if you're thinking about marrying someone and you feel like you have to settle, don't do it.
I guess it's pretty big, I guess.
But there's so many points on this that I want to make, and part of this is you do need to have faith and trust in the person you marry, and that means I've really got to think through and make sure I make a good choice. And part of the reason why I call it Want to Marry a Good Man, here's how, assuming that I know what women kind of identify as good men. But the other part of it is too, is so what if I get a bunch of all these things that I'm looking for if I'm not good for the man I'm with? And a big part of the book in the Be Confident and Be Successful sections is all about having a male-friendly psychology. It's
Thank
one thing
you.
To get what you want, and it's one thing to really put in a lot of effort into what you want, but you got to think about him and his needs and what's going to work for him and how best to approach this, because we're so different. And so anyway, that will be discussed in future shows. But it's an important
That's
issue.
It's really important,
we don't
by
settle.
The way. And I don't think a lot of women realize that.
No.
Just based on my dating experience, I don't think that they actually realize the importance of that.
Well, and really we have to look at as women what our attitudes are about men. And one of the things I talk about in this book is, after having been hurt so much from my first marriage, I started to recognize I had a lot of male chauvinistic, hating thoughts and feelings. And I realized one day after a counseling session, I could never be fair to my clients if I hate men. That most women want a relationship with men. They want a connection with men. And if I hate men, I'm isolating them from their greatest desire. It's not good for me. But the most important thing was I could not raise my boy. I had a 7-month-old boy when I left my first marriage. I could not raise my boy to be a man and hate men.
And just from a guy's point of view, the biggest turnoff for me, and John, I don't know, maybe you have different feelings on this, but the biggest turnoff for me when I was dating was women who had negative opinions of men. That was that was by far the biggest turnoff. In fact, I had a relationship before I met Julie, the girl I was dating, had a very negative view of her father and men in general. And every time she said something bad about her dad or just bad about men, I just kind of cringed, you know. And I just kind of, you know, and I should have just, you know, I wasn't quite in the right state of mind where I could just get up and say, this is stupid, you know, I'm not going to do this. But, you know, it was a red flag. But every time she said something about that, I was just kind of like, ugh, you know, that really bugs me, you know, because I don't want to be around somebody that thinks men are awful because, hey, I'm a man and I got to live with you.
Yeah, I would say one reason I don't date that much is I'm kind of sick of always being wrong and having everything be my fault.
You know, women are driven by, we don't mean to do it, but so often we're driven by this fear. And it's really more of a fear of what we don't understand. We don't understand men. And so we react to men out of fear and
men
hurt.
Men don't understand men.
I hate men.
And so I think one of the important things is just to keep an open mind. And that's part of what the book, of course, addresses and what we'll address in future visits. But really, having a male-friendly psychology is so important. I have to really kind of give Dr. Lahr a little credit for this. I remember reading her book a few years ago, The Proper Care and Feeding of Husbands. And I loved some of what she said about how if there are some girls, and I think this was published in some newspaper, about girls who are wearing shirts that say boys suck. How sad is that? I've got an 8-year-old boy. And I remember another time my boy came home and he said to me, Mom, he got so mad because he was hearing girls rule and boys drool. You know, there's so much of that that's perpetuated in our society, and something we really have to actively choose to change the effects of negative media against men, at least in our choices about what we listen to and what movies we watch, what music we listen to, anything that really perpetuates the negative side of men, we need to keep in balance.
And I would tell women, if you have a negative view of men, you know, you don't think that's a problem, how would you like going out with someone who had a really negative view of women?
Right.
And how would you feel if you were with a guy who just said, well, women are just emotional, blah, 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 you know, and, you know, they, I don't know, you know, whatever the stereotypes are.
One of
the
warning signs of the potentially abusive or manipulative, again, going back to empathy, self-control, and personal responsibility, is one of the warning signs is they have nothing good to say about women. And if you're on a date with a guy who does that, I mean, you're going to have a hard time getting empathy from him if he can't see women in a positive light. If he can't get into a woman's shoes, he's not going to get into your shoes.
We're running out of time here, but real quick, Lisa, we have more questions. We will have you back on a future show. I know John had a question.
I had one question. Oh, gosh, I hope you could possibly get into this. But I mean, I love reading over your book. I love these checklists that you go through. It's a lot more fun than just the prose and paragraphs and everything. But you have all these checklists. So like this one, for example, is recognize your vulnerability to abuse. And one of the things on here I noticed is I should always try to be logical, consistent, and or fair.
I love being logical. I love being consistent. But when I have to always do it, it can be easily exploited and manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
If I say I'll do something once and I'm held to an infinite standard to have to live that way for the rest of my life, then I'm easily manipulated. I have to be able to be true to myself and say, you know what, that no longer works for me. But 90% of the time, I'm going to be logical and consistent, but sometimes I'm going to have to change my mind.
All right. I want to go
Elisa,
into more
real
detail
quick,
next time.
Yeah, next time. If someone wanted to get hold of you or just know more about your counseling service, what's the number they can reach you at?
801-564-5330 or 801-447-6000.
All right. You're listening to the Able Hour. We will be back on Monday. We have a great show lined up. We'll have Elisa back on a future show as well. So we'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Great weekend.